Okay. Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in absentee members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Brian O'Rourke from the St. Mark's Catholic Church in St. Paul.
Morning, or good afternoon. Provident God, bless this house with good order, understanding, and thankfulness. May these women and men called forth to serve the common good of the people of Minnesota be diligent in their important work together. Let conviction and courage always be accompanied by respect for our differences and an openness to discover new truths. May all of us be a welcoming people, a truly compassionate people, and may we rise up to be generous in our thoughts and actions. May we take good note of the poor and those on the margins who have no one but us to speak their cause. May God grant you each for every care a promise, and God's blessings all the while. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll. Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Spark, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. The first order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file, herewith transmitted, House file number 455. Signed, Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, it will be referred to the first reading and referred to the committee as indicated. Next order of business, reports of committee. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed on today's agenda be adopted.
On the Betzel motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection, second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is second reading of House bills. There are two printed on today's agenda without objection, second reading of House bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Are there some other? Okay. There are, continuing on motions and resolutions, there are four or five resolutions without objection. They will be referred to the Rules Committee. Other motions? Senator Pogemiller, did you have a motion on the...
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1925 be laid on the table.
That's the Vickerman?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we'll let the body know what... Okay.
Yes, members, I mentioned yesterday that we were going to divvy out the major finance bills between House files and Senate files, and so we're keeping Senate File 1925, the ag
bill that we dealt with yesterday. We'll wait for the House file to come over for that. We did send the higher ed bill to the House.
Okay, on the Pogue-Miller motion to lay Senate File 1925 on the table, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any other motions will remain on motions. Next order of business.
Mr. President.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do the, without objection, we'll do the introduction of and first reading of Senate bills. There's one change on page 2. 2106 will be referred to the Transportation Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
I'd move that we take up the Senate calendar.
The motion is to take up the Senate consent calendar, or the regular calendar first. Okay, the calendar. Now this, again, is where there's some votes to be taken. And I would suggest you stay close to your seats. The first bill on the calendar today will be Senate File 547. Secretary will give Senate File 547 its third reading.
Senate File 547, a bill for an act relating to Scott County, making the Library Board advisory to the County Board.
Secretary will take the roll. Where is it? Where does she sit? Check to see if your vote is recorded. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar, be Senate File 1053. Secretary will give Senate File 1053 its third reading.
Senate File 1053, a bill for an act relating to Ramsey County, modifying corrections provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. There will be two more votes on the calendar. I would suggest you stay seated. Next bill will be Senate File 585. Secretary will give Senate File 585 its third reading.
Senate File 585, a bill for an act relating to local government removing restrictions on the sale or lease of certain property listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 65 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and the title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar. Oh, excuse me, there's two bills left. Next bill is Senate File 552. Secretary will give Senate File 252 its third reading.
Senate File 252, a bill for an act relating to energy, designating Elk River as Minnesota's energy city.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 63 ayes. Senator Parasol votes aye. We had 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Now the last bill on the calendar will be Senate File 144. The Secretary will give Senate File 144 its third reading.
Senate File 144, a bill for an act relating to the County of Winona, authorizing ownership of electric power generation facilities, granting related powers.
Secretary will take the roll. Pretty soon. We got the consent calendar. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and the title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would move that we now take up the consent calendar.
On the Pogemiller motion to bring up the consent calendar, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There are three bills today on the consent calendar. The first one under consideration be Senate File 1332, Senator Dill.
Mr. President, members, this Senate File 1332 simply increases the number of members that the Meeker County Economic Development Authority can have from 7 to 9 members. And the reason they want to do that is that there's 9 cities in Meeker County, and they want to have one represented from each of the 9 cities.
Any further discussion on the Dill motion? No discussion. Third reading of Senate File 1332.
Senate File 1332, a bill for an act relating to local government, permitting Meeker County EDA to increase its membership to 9 members.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the consent calendar be Senator Tomassoni, Senate File 1133. Senator Tomassoni, explanation of the bill.
Mr. President, can I request progress for a second?
Progress.
Come back to me.
Progress requested. Progress granted. Senator Scheid, I'm told that your bill is out for comparison. Next bill on the consent calendar be House File 1200. Senator Moi.
Mr. President, thank you. House File 1200 is the companion Senate File 983. House File 1200 is the revisor's technical bill. This is the revisor's bill that comes at the beginning of the legislative session to clean up things that have are in the statutes. Article 1, this is a terminology change, erroneous or obsolete references, dealing with data practices, law cross-references, drafting errors, reference to general law exceptions, and references to federal agencies. Article 2 deals with obsolete and conflicting provisions, Article 3 also are cross-references, correcting erroneous references in statutes and erroneous references in administrative rule.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Secretary will give House File 1200 its third reading.
House File 1200, a bill for an act relating to legislation correcting erroneous, ambiguous, and omitted text and obsolete references, eliminating certain redundant, conflicting, and superseded provisions, making miscellaneous technical corrections.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We'll revert without objection to Senator Tomassoni. Senator Tomassoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, Senate File 1133 comes to us as a request from St. Louis County. Everybody has signed off on it. What it does is it says that the county Board of Commissioners shall now appoint the Civil Service Director, and it's non-controversial.
I don't know. Any discussion? Secretary will give Senate File 1133 its third reading.
Senate File 1133, a bill for an act relating to St. Louis County modifying civil service director provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary. All right. Secretary Ortman, Senate. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 65 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, the plan for today is to take up the transportation bill, so I'll make a motion here briefly to do that. And then hopefully we will also take up number 40 on general orders. That's the June primary bill. But we would break for... Senator Senjum would like to caucus that if we decide to take that up. So, Mr. President, I would move that I'd like to designate Senate File 1986, number 67 on general orders, as a special order. So, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that Senate File 1986, number 67 on general orders, be made a special order for immediate consideration.
Before us is Senate File 1986, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and members, I have a couple of technical...
Wait a second. This is kind of a very important bill. Should pay attention. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and... Or Mr. President and members... I've got a couple of amendments here that are either technical in nature or they are some reworking of a couple language issues later in the back end of the bill. And I'd like to put those on the bill so that it kind of matches up to what all the rest of the paper says.
Do you have...
Mr. Chairman, I would offer the A-19 amendment first.
Secretary will report the Murphy A-19 amendment. Senator.
And Senate File 1986.
Is your microphone on there, Pat? Senator Murphy. Amendment number 19, A-19. Senator
yes,
Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, the A-19 amendment makes some changes to Article 11, and that's the paying by credit card provision. We talked about that in transportation, finance, and taxes, and it became pretty clear that we were a little uncomfortable with going forward with that program, and so we turned it into a study. What this does is it studies the language a little bit closer so that when you go to the deputy registrar, sometime in the future, you'll be able to use a credit card for payment. But this is just study language. It cleans up Article 11 of the bill, and I would move that amendment.
On the amendment, on the Murphy amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy. Senator Murphy, do you have a... Some more amendments?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I had the A-25 amendment.
Secretary will report the Murphy A-25 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 24, line 6. This is the A-25 amendment.
Senator Murphy.
And Mr. President and members, the A25 amendment just delays the effective date of the local sales tax to reflect the beginning of the last quarter, September 30, 2007. And that's just so the Department of Revenue can be ready to go to collect those receipts. This is a request from the Department of Revenue.
Discussion on the amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, I also have the A26 amendment.
Secretary will report the Murphy A26 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. Page 30, delete Section 3. This is the A26 amendment.
Senator Murphy on the A26 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this deals with an issue that was kind of ferreted out in finance and taxes, and it's carrying that construction material for the North Star commuter rail and all the light rail and commuter rail thereafter. The reason why we're taking it out of the bill simply is it puts the bill at an imbalance. Don't worry to all those North Star commuter supporters. We will carry this money later on, either in the finance bill or the tax bill. But it's inappropriate right now being in this bill because it throws it out of balance. I'd move the amendment.
On the Murphy amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to extend, before I start speaking to the bill, there's two other amendments that need to go on. One is with Senator Bach, and the other one is a Senator Rest amendment, and both of these amendments are all agreed to.
Senator Bach, what?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A22 amendment.
Secretary will report the Bach 822 amendment.
Senator Bach moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. Page 55, delete Section 14. This is the A22 amendment.
Senator Bach, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is the section of the bill that makes changes in the unrefunded gas tax. It's money that doesn't go to the Highway Trust Fund. It goes to the DNR, and it goes into the Natural Resources Fund, and then the Environment Finance Committee appropriates that money out to things like snowmobile trails and for water recreation purposes and enforcement. And there were percentages that were changed when the transportation bill came to the Tax Committee, and some issues were raised that the DNR had raised, that the percentages weren't quite doing what the Transportation Committee intended them to do. So Senator Murphy has agreed, along with DNR, that we take it out of the bill and we work on it later in the session. So I appreciate your support.
On the Bach amendment, Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Bach, with the gas tax, if the gas tax goes up by this much, the impact of taking out this section means that same amount of gas tax, in other words, if the same number of gallons, the allocation is going to stay the same to the DNR, and so it's going to go up in dollar amount, the full dollar amount of the gas tax increase?
Senator Bach.
Mr. President, Senator Marty, we would stay with current law, which would mean the unrefunded gas tax amounts that flow to all of the different accounts over at DNR. The same gallon usage and the same percentage that's in current law would follow through for not only existing gas tax, but for any increase.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Bach, I guess I have concerns about that then, because we are putting an awful lot of money in to the trails out of our gas tax based on some studies that I think were not well done. Last year when the DNR did a gas tax study on ATVs, they did. They asked two questions. One, how much do you use how much riding do you use, how much gas do you use in your ATV? And then number two, how much do you use it on public lands? They tallied the first part of it. They didn't tally the second part of it. If you calculate the second part in, it meant that we're putting about twice as much gas tax out of our highways and roads and putting it into the DNR. And until they fix that issue, I can't see why we should be doubling, well, significantly increasing the amount of gas tax dollars we're taking out of the roads and highways and putting into DNR, because that allocation is very poorly done. In the DNR's own study, the part that they didn't tally, they asked the questions, but they never tallied it. If you tally it, it suggested it should be less than half the amount that's going there.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. President, I'd support Senator Bach's amendment. This would leave the percentages as they are now. We did have one study, flawed as it may be, that Senator Marty referenced, but none of the other increases had the comparable studies done. And I think to comply with our constitutional dedication of sales tax, we need to have a very good study to determine how much of this money is, how much of this gas is purchased and then not used on highways. So I very much support Senator Bach's amendment.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Frederickson, I agree with you about, because we have the constitutional obligation to make sure that gas that's used on our highways is going to the gas tax revenue from that is going to our roads. That's why we need the accurate studies, but the point is it's not a constitutional obligation to take the money out of that to give it to the DNR. And the point is, at least with the ATV account, we're taking out far more than would be justified by it. And that's why I'm questioning why we should be allowing it to happen here. I think we have to resolve the issue, but your point should be the exact opposite then, because if we want to make sure we meet our constitutional obligation to not take any gas tax money that's used on our roads for anything other than the roads, then we shouldn't be taking out more as this amendment will end up as having us do. And until we get studies on others justifying taking out that much more, we should not be doing that.
Senator
Mr. President, Senator Marty, we're taking it out of the bill. So we're going to leave status quo until we get this figured out. So we're not changing anything. Current law is going to stay current law if the Bach Amendment goes on.
Any further discussion on the Bach Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is all. I'm offering the A20 amendment.
Secretary will report the Senator Rest A20 amendment.
Thank you.
Senator Rest now moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. Page 18, after line 19, insert section 13. This is the A20 amendment.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. The A13 amendment deals with the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force that was heard in a number of committees. The language for the funding for it from the Airports Fund is already in the transportation bill, and Senator Murphy agreed that we could go ahead and put the task force language in supporting the appropriation.
Discussion on the Senator Rest's amendment, A20. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have, if I could, an oral amendment which has been agreed upon by the author. And if we could refer back to his original, let's see, A19 amendment on line 15, as a talk. And this, by the way, members, is about the credit card study and reports going to chairs of the Senate Transportation Committee and the House Transportation Committee. My amendment effectively would say that report would also go to the ranking minority members of each of those bodies. And so my amendment would be on line 15, after chairs, to insert and ranking minority members.
And ranking minority. Senator Murphy, you're nodding your head in approval.
Yes, Mr. President, and this is consistent with other parts of the bill. Working with Senator Jungbauer, our lead from the Minority Caucus, we've instituted on several reports that have to come to the legislature, one going to the ranking minority member of those committees with that jurisdiction, and Senator Sinjum caught on to this right away, and I appreciate his help there.
Secretary, will report the Sinjum.
Senator Sinjum is moving to amend the Murphy A-19 amendment adopted by the Senate earlier today on page 1 of the Murphy amendment, line 5. After the word chairs, insert the words and ranking minority members. Is that correct, Senator?
Okay. That's correct. On the Sinjum motion. To amend. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Okay, discussion. Any amendments at this time? Senator Murphy on the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, the bill that is in front of us today, Senate File 1986, is an attempt to meet the overall need of transportation in the state of Minnesota. This is a process that our committee started back when Senator Arata was the lead ranking minority member on the committee. And at that time, we studied the issue and found out that the need in the state of Minnesota was someplace more than $1.7 million or $1.7 billion of investment every year. And then we started doing that again. That was about 4 years ago. So this year we tried to calculate what those needs were again. And the number, even with the addition of the invest money, is still going to be about $1.7 billion of unmet needs per year in the state of Minnesota. MnDOT's calculations are that we are underinvesting in just our state trunk highway system by more than $1 billion a year of underinvestment. Now, if you add in our county system, our municipal systems, and the systems that we want to build in the future, our transit systems, you get another approximately $700 million of underinvestment every year. Now, members, those numbers are too big to even fathom. I understand that. This is the Mount Everest of all problems that the state of Minnesota is facing. This bill attempts, through massive investment in our infrastructure, attempts to move Minnesota into the 21st century in regards to transportation systems. With this bill, member, over a 10-year construction cycle, I can guarantee that 75% of all the needs all across the state, and whether it's over in your neck of the woods, Senator Ingebrigtsen, or over in mine, or here in the metropolitan area, or out in Senator Bonhoff's suburbs, 75% of all the needs, regardless of what it is, transit or transportation, whether it's investment in our ports or our airports, investment in our railways, transit, and roads, 75% of that unmet need is going to get met with this bill. This is a massive investment, folks, and we need to have the political fortitude to step to the plate and do the right thing. Now, folks, I know that a bill that is this big makes a lot of folks uncomfortable. But after hearing testimony from crying parents and aunts and uncles and brothers of people who have been lost on our highways, we've decided to do the right thing. When we hear businesses come in front of our committee and talk about the needs that business has in the state of Minnesota because they're losing millions and millions of dollars of economic opportunity, we decided to step forward and do the right thing. Now, members, I'm just asking that we have the political fortitude to stand up and be counted. This means millions and millions and millions of additional economic revenue for the state of Minnesota. every jurisdiction, every state that has invested in their transportation infrastructure, their economies are growing clearly 2 percentage points above the state of Minnesota. That, for the state of Minnesota, means millions and millions of dollars. It means hundreds and thousands of jobs, quality jobs. That's what Phoenix has found. That's what Colorado and Denver found. That's what Portland and places like San Francisco and Dallas have found when they made huge investments in their transportation infrastructures. Now, once again, I realize that this is a little heavy for some members, but the problem is huge. And unless we can get 3/4 of the way there today, we don't stand a chance of getting there in the future. This is about an investment in the future of our great state. Now, folks, I talked about the needs and the investment in the bill. I'm going to walk through the bill because there's many options in here for revenue raising and investment in our infrastructure. And I'm going to go through the bill and I'm going to point them out. Members, Article 1 starts on page 2 of the bill. And these are all the updated numbers of distribution, to our airports, our CASA formula, our MASA formula, special revenue accounts, trunk highway accounts, and our general account. And as we can see, this is going to be a total investment, new money and old money, of $4.5 billion a biennium. With $4.5 billion of investment every biennium, folks, we're going to be able to put a big dent in that mountain of debt that we have. Folks, on page 2, section 3 talks about the transportation portion of the budget. If you go to page 3, there's an airport development assistance account, and I see that our airport folks are with us today. Hi, Ray. And we are reinstituting the $6 million in both the first and second year of the biennium to meet the need that our airport folks have. There's also the $200,000 in this section that Senator Ress was talking about with the Legislative Coordinating Commission to fund the Airport Advisory Task Force. On page 4, there's some more money there, $250,000, to study that extension of the North Star line up through St. Cloud and to Big Lake. At the bottom, it talks about infrastructure investment support and planning. If you flip over to page 6, you'll find that there's the $5 million pilot project that the governor had asked for when it comes to the future replacement of our gas tax so that we can study on how best to get to a mileage-based tax system. There's also $2 million in here, and this was a Senator Bonhoff and Senator Sieben initiative to install more concrete barriers and cable median barriers. One of the leading causes in the metropolitan area to fatal head-on crashes is due to somebody going through the median on a divided highway and into the oncoming lane of traffic. And our committee has seen videotape and other demonstrations that MnDOT and Public Safety has put on. Cable median barriers work. They work well. Concrete median barriers, they work not as well, but in some places we need to use the concrete median barriers just because of the configuration of the roads. This is going to add more money into that account. Down at the bottom of page 7, you see the additional money that is going to be spent on the infrastructure operation and maintenance. Folks, and like down in our neck of the woods, Senator Day, we look at that chart that MnDOT provides that shows what the life cycle of a road is. Well, down in Senator Day's district and in my district, when you open that up after 5 years, almost all the roads are red. Red's bad in this case. Red is really bad. That means the whole road needs to be replaced. This fund is going to address those problems. On page 8, you look and you see what the county state aids are and the municipal state aids. Pages 8, 9, 10 are more appropriations. Page 11 is another is a process by which if there's extra money left in a couple special accounts or if there's extra federal money to be spent, the way that this has worked in the past was the Commissioner Department of Transportation would just notify the chairs of the appropriate committee. What we've asked is not only the chair of the committee, but also the ranking minority member, and this is where Senator Sinjum's amendment earlier fits into the bill. Further down on page 11 are the appropriations for the Metropolitan Council. Page 12, more of some of the governor's recommendations. If you look down to line 24, there's $110,000 in the first year of this appropriation, $28,000 in the second year for the 2008 Republican National Convention. This is for a security coordinator, a person that will help the Department of Public Safety, the City of St. Paul, Ramsey County, and all the local law enforcement, including FBI, to try to coordinate all these activities when it comes to security so that this convention goes off without a hitch. A little further down the page, you'll see the public safety officer survivor benefits. There's on the next page, there's also the public safety officer's benefit account and another account for a little more than $500,000 for soft body armor. On page 14 of the bill, this is a governor's initiative, one that was sparked by interest from our committee and also the committee that has jurisdiction over public safety. This provides $2 million in the first year and about a little more than $3.5 million the second year to train and fully equip 40 additional state troopers. And folks, when we talk about the crashes on Minnesota highways where there's fatalities, 70% of those happen on rural two-lane roads. And these are rural two-lane roads that you'll find in portions of Hennepin County, but more than likely they're in places like Goodhue County and Rock County and Pennington. What this does, and what we found out about these fatal crashes, is that there's four things that the drivers either do or don't do that lead to 70% of the crashes. Only 30% of all the fatal crashes are because of something wrong with the road. Bad sight lines, not the right semaphore, bad lighting, trees obstructing views. So 70% is due to something the driver does or doesn't do. And we know that having increased police presence out on the road makes a difference. We've been doing that for the past several years, and the state of Minnesota, fortunately, is bucking national trends. We're bucking national trends when it comes to crashes resulting in fatalities. Our overall fatality numbers have come down the past 2 years. Almost every state in the nation, their fatality rates are going up. This proves that increased law enforcement actually works. Members, you can keep flipping through the bill until we get over to page 17, section 9, starting on page 10, is Senator Metzen's Lafayette Bridge request that any future plans or implementation of a new Lafayette Bridge should include some sort of transit option so that when we build bridges in the future, they're compatible to any design or, to any transit option that we may have out there. Section 10 of the bill is a request from Senators Senjum and Lynch as to some highway construction being done down in Rochester. This would add a an interchange in Rochester down at about the 65th Street level. The city of Rochester has the money in their pocket to pay for this, so it's kind of no skin off our teeth. Article 2 talks about the fuel tax in the bill. It starts on page 18. I'll draw your attention down to line 27. That is the increase that we have in the bill. On page 19, section 3 talks about the indexing of the fuel adjustment. Article 3 of the bill is basically our vehicle registration, you know, the tabs that we get to pay all the time. And members, it's important to note that the increases here are not so much in our everyday, you know, as Senator Day would call them, Joe Sixpack, the person that's got a 6, 7, 8-year-old car. Whatever vehicle that you own today, you're going to stay on the old schedule. Now, when you trade your car in and say you trade in your 1991 and you get a 2002, you'll be put on the new schedule. But once you're put on that new schedule, you have to understand how that works. We're increasing, we're taking the cap off. So the first 2 years of a car's vehicle life, so if you bought a 2008 next year, and this bill would become law, if you bought a 2008 next year, we're taking the cap off so that we can capture that increase. The same thing would be said for a one-year-old vehicle. But once you start working your way down that, the percentages get right back to where they were under the old schedule. So if you got a 5 or 6-year-old car that you trade in and get, you're going to be paying roughly the same that you're paying today. Article 4 is a local sales tax option. On page 23, it talks about what the option is for the metropolitan counties. I guess that's not really an option. We're going to impose a half-cent sales tax on the metropolitan counties. Page 26 talks about what those options are going to be for greater Minnesota. Flipping through the bill, we get to Article 5 on page 27. This is the wheelage portion of the bill that folks have kind of been a little up in arms about. But we have to remember that, you know, a lot of our road system in the state of Minnesota are these county roads. And our counties currently are paying for these roads by using the property tax method. And I think that that's kind of unfair to the person who doesn't go out there and drive. Like my next door neighbor, she chooses to walk almost every place that she goes. And using the property tax to do that, I think, is not quite right. So what we do is we allow counties, we take the offset off. First of all, under current law, say Goodhue County wants to impose this wheelage fee. They would have the same amount of money taken off the money that the state gives them. In other words, if they'd raise $2 million under this, the state would withhold $2 million. I don't think that's fair, and I haven't talked to any counties that think that that's fair. So we're removing the offset, and we're going to let the counties charge this $20 if they so choose. And it's by majority vote of the elected officials on the county board. Members, on page 29, it starts to talk about the invest and the lease sales tax. And what we've done here is a couple of years back, Senator Bonhoff had brought us a bill to capture the lease tax money, much like the constitutional amendment on the invest fund. And now we're going to phase in both of these funds away from the general fund and into transportation. It's a 5-year period for both of these funds. So the thing to remember when you flip through the bill, First, the funds are established on page 29, a Greater Minnesota account and a Metropolitan Area account. And then I'm going to let Senator Dibble talk here in just a second. But this money is, if you must remember that to get the balance in the bill that's needed to garner support from all these user groups, it's a little tricky. And this is the first year that I can remember in the last 15 that I've been here where we've had a fairly smooth process. And I believe that's because of a lot of hard work that Senator Dibble did and our transit subcommittee. He took the show on the road. And every place that we went to, whether it was Burnsville or St. Cloud, everybody wanted more investment in transit. This is going to give us that opportunity. Now, folks, it's important not to really look at the percentages per se between now and when it's fully implemented, but to look at the 2012 numbers, because that's after the full implementation, and the distribution of money follows along with that. It's fair. This is a fair and very balanced way. And once again, I commend not only Senator Dibble, but the Transit Subcommittee and our whole committee for making sure that this portion of the bill is as fair and balanced as possible. And that's why I don't think today you're going to see the arguments that we've had in the past between suburban members, urban members, and rural legislators. You're just not going to see it. Now, there's going to be a little disagreement, I think, amongst the two parties on the level of which we are seeking investment. But I would say those are going to happen whether it's a penny gas tax or 5 cents or 10 or a buck. I mean, and that's just the difference between the two parties. But the important thing to remember is it's fair, it's balanced, and this is an investment that's going to move Minnesota forward. I would yield to Senator Dibble to kind of go through some of the transit portions of the bill.
Thank you, Madam President. And I return the compliments to Senator Murphy. This committee, both the Subcommittee on Transit and the full Transportation Committee, has worked very, very hard. And I also want to extend my thanks to the staff who has worked very, very hard to support our work and our effort to get out in front of the public and really hear across the metropolitan area and in greater Minnesota what their vision and what their excitement is around our transportation system, what's possible for Minnesota, what the vision is, what we can do with respect to the transit piece of our vital infrastructure that allows people to be mobile and allows businesses to thrive and allows communities to thrive and allows individuals and their families to do well in their communities. We visited as a transit subcommittee, and I great, great thanks to all the transit subcommittee members, five communities around Minnesota, and actually we still have plans to visit one more if we can get to it, although we've been awfully busy the last few weeks. We went out to Burnsville, and we took Metro Transit brought us out there in a hybrid bus, which was pretty cool. And out in Burnsville at their city hall, we heard about their desire for more and additional transit up I-35. We heard a lot about paratransit and the challenges that the disabilities communities have when one system drops them at a county line and they have to wait for sometimes several hours for the next paratransit system, Metro Mobility or DARTS or whatever it is, to pick them up and bring them the rest of the trip, and how many, what an investment in hours that is for jobs, for getting to their social engagements and the like. We heard a lot about the Southwest Corridor. We heard a lot about inner suburban transportation. We heard from the opt-out transit providers as well. And throughout all of these hearings and town hall meetings we had in the suburban areas in greater Minnesota, we heard about the oversubscription, the overuse of the parking facilities that folks come to hop on the bus or get on the train and come and complete their trip. We went to St. Cloud, and we had huge attendance in St. Cloud. Hundreds of people were there. We had many, many legislators from that area, as well as those on the Transit Subcommittee. Very, very excited about the prospects of completing the North Star Corridor up into the St. Cloud community. We heard from the greater Minnesota transit providers, both the regional centers and the rural transit providers who provide fixed route service, who provide dial-a-ride service, who provide paratransit service. The Duluth bus system was represented. The St. Cloud bus system talked about how vital it is for them to come and provide transit to the students at St. Cloud. We heard some very moving testimony from folks who live just about 2 miles beyond the city boundary of Waite Park. They live in Belle Claire Estates, which is a mobile home community. And for whatever reason, they ended up way out there, out in a farm field somewhere. And there's about 1,000 folks who live out there. Many of them work in the service industry in Waite Park and in St. Cloud. Many of them don't have their own cars. They have to either hitch a ride with someone or they have to own a junker vehicle. They have to walk into town. We drove out there, Senator Olson and I drove out there to take a look at what it was really like. And a couple miles doesn't sound like a lot, but a couple miles on a really cold, windy day walking through farm fields is actually quite a ways. I know they're working hard on solving that problem, but it really speaks to the opportunity and the need for transit even in greater Minnesota. We went to Brooklyn Park, heard about their vision for the Botineau Boulevard. Right now, I think they had talked about doing bus rapid transit, but now they're thinking about rail options. I drove back on Botineau Boulevard, Highway 81, down through North Minneapolis, and it's prime for all the development opportunities that rail or dedicated busway might bring. They're also excited about North Star Corridor. They're also interested in making sure that folks who live in those communities who are getting older or have disabilities can stay there and can access all the opportunities that they need to access. The inner suburban transportation was a big issue for them. We went out to Minnetonka on a very snowy, blustery day. It was one of our two or three big snowstorms we've had, and still a huge turnout. We were bursting at the seams in City Hall there. Heard a lot about Southwest Corridor. We heard a lot from Senator Bonhoff about her vision for transit serving the western metro suburbs, the 394 corridor, the 494 corridor, and we ended up in Woodbury on the east, in the east, and we in the eastern part of the metropolitan area. Heard a very compelling presentation on the Central Corridor, on I-94, on Red Rock commuter rail down to Hastings, ultimately to Red Wing, and the high-speed rail that's going to use that same corridor that's going to connect us someday from Chicago to St. Paul and Minneapolis. And, of course, we heard a great deal about the Union Depot and the linchpin that is for the rush line, for I-94 corridor service that we've heard about from Senator Saltzman. And, of course, last but not least, you see this map on your desk here that has a vision for all the possible transit. This is just a partial list. We don't have the Robert Street corridor that Senator Metzen is interested in. I have a little red line here that says Robert on it, because Senator Metzen never fails to bring up the fact that that's missing from this vision on this map. But that's the level of excitement that there is out there. That's the vision that folks have for making transit truly a meaningful, integral part of our transportation system across Minnesota and in the metro area, not an also-ran, not an afterthought, not something that's in competition with roads, but a part of how we serve the people who live in our communities. Turning to the bill very quickly, members, if I could yield to Senator Bonhoff, who wanted to share some thoughts as well. She was at pretty much every one of these meetings, and she had a really, really exciting presentation that painted the picture that helped improve the excitement that we picked up in those meetings.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Dibble. I have handed out a copy of the PowerPoint that I shared at some of the community forums and also with the Transit Subcommittee. So if you could take a look at the PowerPoint presentation, the copies in front of you. It starts out with transit, a visionary approach. And last year when I began the conversation about transit with the Transportation Committee, it was with regard to studying the 394 corridor as a possible commuter rail corridor or light rail corridor. And I wanted to make sure that it was very clear this was not just an isolated corridor, but rather from a profound commitment that we as a state must have a comprehensive rail program, and that in order to be competitive, this was just critical for our future. And in fact, so many people that responded to this that I became acquainted with the City Council of Wayzata, and they too were interested in this project, and people from all over commented. So we did bring this conversation, as Senator Dibble said, to the public to get their feedback. And we talk about where we heard from the community people. We also heard from the business community. The chambers have been very supportive of this conversation. The cities have come and testified. Mayors. I had the mayor of Wayzata here, as well as the mayor of Minnetonka, testifying their support for studying these corridors as potentials for rail. We have learned from successful campaigns in the other cities, as Senator Murphy mentioned. In this packet, we actually have some pictures, although it's not very good representations, but you can see what some of the other cities are doing. Denver, they've got several initiatives going, and they did pass, they have a sales tax that they're using for their metro area. They're doing a combination of light rail, rapid bus, and you can see their transit map is very comprehensive. If you look at Phoenix, Phoenix too has a combination of light rail, bus rapid transit, new and expanded highways. It's a comprehensive transit approach, and their transit map, bus rapid transit and light rail map, is attached as well. If you could take a look at that. San Diego has done an amazing job. They put $2.4 billion into their transit system. They, too, have a half-cent sales tax. And by the way, these sales taxes are being matched by federal matches. So the ability to have this extra added sales tax is really just leveraging our dollars. And their transit plan is enormous. So these cities, they paid for it by getting the public support, by having a local sales tax, and then by matching dollars. We know that 52% of Hiawatha users are new users of public transportation, that there's something different when you put trains on the ground. There's something magical about trains, and that people will ride them, very different than what's happened with buses. We know what we want. We want to give our citizens the opportunity to take advantage of what's happening in these cities across the country. We want to stay competitive, and we want businesses to be able to recruit our young people to both come here and stay here. So I end with a quote. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And this is by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Thank you.
Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So turning to the bill very quickly, I'll give a very quick explanation. I think folks are familiar with the outlines as presented by Senator Murphy. But I also want to emphasize the provisions in this bill they begin to realize the vision that we have, but they don't get to the full vision that's been articulated, what's possible, and certainly doesn't get us into the same league that our comparable and peer cities are doing around the region. We do need to compete. We need to provide the quality of life. We need to provide the essential services. We need to make sure our bus system continues to be strong. This gets us on that path. It's pretty robust, and it's very exciting. And what our hope is that we return to 2020, the vision that the Metro Council had established, that's largely represented on this map, which now they call the 2030 priorities list. And we hope to fulfill that by 2020. But even that doesn't get to the high-speed rail, all the other lines, nor does it support the bus system with the increasing ridership that we hope to achieve, that we need to achieve in this metropolitan area and in greater Minnesota. We do establish the half-cent sales tax in the metropolitan area, in the seven-county metropolitan area, and that's shared 75% for transit purposes, 20% for roads, 5% for bicycle and pedestrian purposes. And there are a number of transit ways that would be funded that would start to look at all of those projects, all of those proposals that we heard about, both from members in the form of bills that they put in, as well as from the larger community at all of those town hall meetings. Madam Chair, I would like to offer an oral amendment, if I could, at this time. This has to do with those various transitway studies that are called for in the bill. This is on page 25. I would just like to add the words on line 34 after the word Minnetonka and on to Wayzata Depot.
Senator Dibble moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. On page 25, line 34, after Minnetonka, insert, and on to Wayzata Depot.
Aye.
The amendment's adopted. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. In the metropolitan area, there would be a joint powers established that would be made up of representatives, one each from each of the counties in the seven-county metropolitan area, as well as one each from one of the cities in each of the counties, and they would come together for the purpose of planning for the expenditure of those resources. Moving on, we heard from Senator Murphy about the motor vehicle sales tax that was dedicated to roads and transit last November by a vote of the people's constitutional dedication. The allocation remains at 60% for roads, 40% for transit, and within that 40% that goes to transit, 36% would come to the metro area, 4% of that would come to greater Minnesota. And then the motor vehicle lease tax would be dedicated to roads and transit and split up half and half, and of the portion that comes to transit, 75% of that would come to the metropolitan area and 25% of that would come to greater Minnesota. Madam Chair, moving on to Section 10, there are a few policy items and some fiscal policy items that are established in Section 10. One item that you'll find in Section 15, which is on page 57, we would cease the practice of requiring counties to levy on their own property tax for the purpose of paying for transit operations. This is something that occurred a number of years ago when Hiawatha Light Rail was brought online. We eliminated the property tax for the purpose of paying for transit operations in the metropolitan area as a part of that tax bill that year, and suddenly found ourselves without any funds to pay for the operation of that line. There was an original proposal to ask the county to pay for 100% of that operation, which didn't fly because, of course, that's a state facility, and we don't ask local units of government to pay for 100% of the operation of their highways. But what did occur is that Hennepin County property taxpayers ever since then have been paying for 50% of the operation of the Hiawatha Light Rail line. We would cease that practice. Additionally, we would cap a local unit of government, a county's contribution to the capital portion of any given transit project to 10% of that. I think it is appropriate for locals to participate in the capital effort, but it's appropriate to have some parameters around that. The Metropolitan Transit Taxing District is expanded to conform to the seven-county metropolitan area. That's on pages 66 and 67, sections 26 and 27. And we also have a corresponding increase in the Met Council bonding authority to reflect that change. That, of course, responds to and is sensitive to everything we heard in those town hall meetings and those hearings we had out in the field. Folks from all over the metropolitan area are anxious to build the park and ride lots, to use transit in their own areas. And so the ability to put forth a little capital effort across the entire metro area would be recognized in that change, Madam Chair. We make some changes to the Metropolitan Council's police jurisdiction. We would allow them to seize property if they arrest someone in the commission of a crime, and we allow them to participate and cooperate with other local police agencies, and we clarify where exactly their jurisdiction is. It's on the buses, it's on the commuter rail, etc. We have a number of provisions that call for more and better services for paratransit, so we have some minimum service standards. You can find those changes on sections 9, 10, 11, and 12, as well as section 30, section 17, all in Article 10, allowing folks to schedule their trips in advance, allowing them to call one place to schedule those trips, etc. I'd also ask MnDOT to come up with a plan and report to the chairs of the committees as well as the ranking minority members about a plan to meet some other service standards that we establish. We call for the construction of the North Star Station in Fridley. We now raise the resources to do that, so that should not be a difficult job to accomplish. And those are the transit provisions of the bill, Madam Chair, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And first, I want to also thank our staff around here. Madam Chairman, and this is what I'm talking about. Your mic just went down. Mike and Glenn scrambled around here and got you one that works. I mean, these folks that work around here are excellent. And Ms. Berzovsky and Ms. Boyd that work as nonpartisan staff did a tremendous job to get this bill together. And it was a lot of late nights. It was a lot of late nights on their part, on Ms. Ball and Ms. Russell in my office, and a lot of late nights by people down in duplicating. Folks like Carol Lee Stock downstairs that helps take all of these ideas that we have and get them on paper. And sometimes they work around the clock and they go unnoticed. And, you know, we're like the quarterback of the football team. We get all the credit, and sometimes, you know, along with that, you get all the blame too. But the folks that make us look good are the people that are standing along the back and sitting in the council chair, and the folks at the front desk, and the people in the bowels of this place. They all do a tremendous job, Madam Chair, and I, for one, greatly appreciate them, because this place would not operate without them. Madam Chair, I'd like to just kind of go through a couple more sections of the bill so that folks can find things with ease. But on page 16 are the changes to the CASA formula. And members, the counties, Carol Loveroe and her group and those folks did a wonderful job of getting all 87 counties, the first time in history, to agree to these CASA changes. This reflects the wishes of the counties. If we go to page 39, we talk about, this is Article 8 of the bill on page 39. And what this is it's the Driver and Vehicle Services Division of the Department of Public Safety, and the governor and our committee, our transportation committee, and both bodies agree that driver and vehicle services should be a fee-based system. This sets up the fee-based system, and there are some increases here to pay for those costs. We felt that it's been inappropriate over the years to use gas tax money to provide these functions, and so we're moving to a fee-based system. On page 45 of the bill, we run into Article 9, and this is the trunk highway bonds that we are going to authorize. It's $200 million worth of bonding authorization a year for a 10-year construction cycle. And folks, we did this to show that bonds aren't free. We all know bonds aren't free. And so what we did was we said that when that debt service on those bonds starts to escalate above our ability to pay, it would trigger an automatic gas tax increase. Now, folks, on $200 million of bonds every year, that's $10 billion over 10 years, it will trigger 8-cent gas tax increase. That's the true cost of bonding projects. We don't need to issue more bonds without a way of paying for it, because what happened back after we passed the 2002 bill was we issued all these bonds, and the debt payments got so heavy that we had to rob from our maintenance funds and our construction funds to pay for the bonds. In other words, that was money that was going directly out the door that wasn't buying us anything. We want to make sure that the public realizes the full impact of a bonding bill. So, folks, and Senator Day, I'll say this once so that you hear it nice and clear. This is on top of the 10 cent a gallon gas tax increase. So for 3 years of this life cycle of this bill, if it would become law, the gas tax would be increased by 18 cents. We're not trying to hide this. We're not trying to fool anybody. We just want to make sure that the public understands that there are no free rides. Bonds cost money. Do I agree that we need to bond? Yes. I've never said that we didn't. I have always said that we needed a way to pay for the bonds that doesn't take the money away from maintenance and construction of our highways. This bill does that. Members, if we go on page 47, we start talking about in Article 10, these are some statutory changes to the transportation to Section 161, and this deals with what everybody calls the 5% fund. And traditionally what we've used that for is a town road account so that those town roads get a little bit of money, the town bridge account. We also, in new language, we reinsert a percentage for municipal turnbacks and county turnbacks, and you'll find those on page 47. The new portion of this bill basically says that, and you'll find this on page 48 in paragraph C down at the bottom, it talks about the money that is left over after we pay those several other accounts is going to go into safety improvements on our highway system. This can also be used as grants to statutory or home rule charter cities, towns, and counties to help pay for those reconstruction costs on those 30% of roads where that was the cause of a crash. So this is a safety account that we put together so that we can target specific areas all across the state, both in greater Minnesota and the metropolitan area, so we can attack those, especially intersections where there's a high fatality rate. On the next page, page 49, you'll also see that we're portioning some of this money for routes of regional significance. And what we found through our testimony is that there's these routes of regional significance. They could be in Pennington County, they could be in Hennepin County, they could be in Washington County. But these routes are where a majority of our traveling public continue to drive through these thoroughfares, and they're congested, they've got bad sight lines, they have too many crossovers, or too many intersections, or not the appropriate signage. So what we want to do with this account is to make sure that there is some money that local jurisdictions can come and get and hopefully fix up some of those roads of regional significance. About halfway down in Section 3 of the bill, you'll see an article, a subdivision that's titled World War II Memorial Donation Matching Account. And members, several years ago, I had the fortune to carry a special license plate that it's a proud to be a veteran license plate. And we sold a lot of those in the state of Minnesota. And that money, that little extra surcharge that you paid to get that plate, was put in the World War II Memorial account. That money was taken to build a World War II Memorial. And if folks have seen it, they know that it was money well spent. Well, that project is done. But we don't want to take that money and just drop it into the general fund. What we're going to do with that money is we're going to give it to the commissioner of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we're asking him to spend that money on services and programs for our veterans and their families. You know, this is a little bit that we can do here in the state of Minnesota. So if you're a veteran and you want to go out and buy those proud to be a veteran license plate, rest assured that money is going to go to try to help some of these families that are struggling today. Down on the bottom of page 49, and you'll see on line 30, folks, the number 40 is stricken, and there's a $430 surcharge to get your license back. This is mainly on those people who get their driver's license revoked for DWI. Now, that's not an increase. The level right now, it costs $430 right now to get your driver's license back. But what Senator Latz brought to the committee is basically a way on, let me see which page it is, on page 51, you know, there's some new language in there, and basically what that new language says is that these people who want to get their driver's license back, and they meet certain qualifications of being low-income families, this allows them a process by which they can...
Excuse me, Senator Murphy. Members, the undercurrent is getting really too loud, especially over in this corner who nobody's listening to me. Members, take it in the back room, please. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. But members, what Senator Latz convinced our committee on was that these folks who are low income, it's pretty tough for them to come up with that $430 all at once. So this allows them a process by which they can make payments and sooner or later get their driver's license back. Once again, you know, the department was helpful in crafting this and making sure that all the I's were dotted, T's were crossed. And this is actually a good section of the bill that helps those families that are struggling a little bit. On page 52 is some language here on highway construction training and disadvantaged business enterprise program. This was brought to us by Senator Waugh, who feels very strongly, as our committee did, that we need to try to bring other folks into the road construction programs and offer them, you know, some of these quality jobs as well. And hopefully these two programs bear fruit in the near future. Page 53 we've already talked about. It's got a service standard there that Senator Dibble talked about earlier. Page 54 is a report from the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation to the committees of interest so that from 1 year to the next we know what the major highway projects are going to be, how they're going to be funded, where they've been historically as far as being on the list of being funded. This report will make it very clear, and everybody in the chamber, if I'm still the chair when these reports come in, will be getting a copy of that. Member section 14 on page 55 is some stricken. We took that section out. Senator Bach did. We're going to come back and revisit that issue at a later date. Page 57 starts talking about some of the transit options that Senator Dibble went through, and I think there's only one more thing that I wanted to mention, Madam Chair. Yes, and it's on page 68, and this is in, there were several people, Senator Foley, Senator Betzold, and a couple other folks that has talked about the North Star Corridor and the commuter rail line that's going to be coming in there. In the initial plans of that, there has always been a station at Fridley. Now, for one reason or another, to meet some of these federal guidelines, that station got dropped out. What we're saying here is that when we get the money all teed up and ready to go, we'll build it on our own because we really feel that Fridley needs a station. It will serve hundreds and possibly thousands of constituents. So that station needs to happen. And members, that's the rest of the bill. The rest of it we've already touched. And members, I would stand for stand for any questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. Are there questions or comments? Senator Ortman.
Well, Madam President, I hate to be the one to interrupt the love fest here. Transportation extravaganza. We've got every conceivable tax in this bill to pay for transportation, and that's a very good thing. But it's a fantasy, because somebody has to pay the bills. And somebody has to remind you all, apparently, that that somebody is the resident in your district and in mine. But let me just say, especially in mine, and we're going to get to that point in just a minute. But in this bill, a 10-cent gas tax, Madam President, means a 20-cent per gallon gas tax increase. As Senator Murphy said, 10 cents on the gallon gas tax. There's 8 cents for debt service. And there's additional indexing of the gas tax, which means essentially about 20 cents per gallon gas tax for Minnesotans. Also in this bill, we have the metropolitan sales tax, 0.5%. No referendum. We're just going to raise the tax on everybody that happens to live in the metropolitan area just because we want to. Because some people have a vision that we should have transit. Well, what about all those people that won't use the transit? They'll have to subsidize it. They won't have a choice, and there won't be any say. They don't get to participate in the decision. Madam Chair, also in this bill, we have the all-new wheelage tax, $20 per vehicle that will go to the county for every vehicle in that county. Now, we were told in the committee that counties didn't have to raise this tax, but once they do, they've got to raise the whole $20 to make it convenient for the Department of Transportation. So we're not going to raise it $5 if they need $5, not $10 if they need $10. You've got to raise it $20 if you want to have the wheelage tax. So we have the 20 cents per gallon on families that are hardworking trying to get to and from work. You've got the metro area sales tax for all of their purchases. And you've got the wheelage tax just because they happen to own a vehicle. And then we've got the increase in the registration fees for Minnesotans, too. I don't know who can operate a car in Minnesota after this. But I know that if they do, they're going to subsidize transit. Everybody that owns a car and buys gas is not just going to pay for their own roads and their own vehicles, but they're going to pay for the transit that gets used by others in the metropolitan area. Honestly, members, this is heedless. It's reckless. It's neglectful of all of the people that work so hard in Minnesota to pay their taxes. And this is regressive. Who will pay this tax? It's not the wealthy members. It's the people that are working very hard to save money. They're hardly going to be able to save money. You're actually saying that families of four are going to have to put out about $1,000 more per year just to own a vehicle in the state of Minnesota. Senator Murphy says there are no free rides. Well, guess what? There are free rides in this bill, Senator Murphy. Two of them that I can think of. Number one, you've got all the people that drive cars paying for the transit in Minneapolis. That's a free ride. Huge subsidy. We're going to shift the money from the people that drive cars to people that ride transit. Secondly, the free ride. Let's talk about the metropolitan area sales tax without a referendum. We can fix this, members. I'm going to offer the referendum at this time, the A24, Madam President.
The Secretary will report the A24 amendment.
Senator Ortman moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. Page 24, delete Subdivision 2 and insert. This is Amendment A24.
Senator Ortman on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is an opportunity to do the right thing with respect to the metropolitan area sales tax. You know, we did have the MVEST vote in 2006, and the voters sent a message to the state of Minnesota and to all of us here in this chamber and to the members of the Transportation Committee, true enough. They said, let's make sure that the money we spend for transportation actually gets used for transportation. They said, let's take the money out of the general fund that we've been spending on motor vehicle excise sales tax when we buy a car. We pay taxes. We want those taxes that are now going to the general fund to be spent on transportation. They wanted transparency. They wanted the money to be used for the things that they actually thought they were buying when they paid the tax on the car. Here's what they didn't say, members. They didn't say raise my taxes because there was no tax increase. They said reprioritize the money. They didn't say tax me. I don't remember anybody in the election saying tax me, raise my taxes, buy more roads, oh, and let's pay for more vision, and let's pay for transit for the year 2030. What they said was prioritize our funding. I think it's only fair that we ask the people that will be asked to pay the tax whether or not they think they should have to pay the tax and whether they can afford the vision that Senator Dibble and Senator Bonoff and the Transit Subcommittee have prepared for them. Let's see if they can afford it, if they can eat that monster that's been put on their plate. So, members, I give you the opportunity to do the right thing, to put the referendum on the metro area sales tax. And I would remind members, I am the chamber historian today, and I'm going to remind you that when we had the elected Met Council bill up, there were members in the DFL caucus that got up and said, well, we can't have taxation without representation. Remember that? Well, here's your chance. Let's make sure we get the representation that we need. Let's ask the voters if they can afford a half cent for sales tax to pay for transit in the metropolitan area. I would ask for a roll call vote on the A24 amendment, Madam President.
There will be a roll call. Senator Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And to a couple things that Senator Ortman had talked about, you know, anybody can stand up and just start talking, but, you know, when you deal with the facts are this. Senator Ortman claims that if you're out there driving around, you're going to subsidize transit with gas tax money. That's just false. You know, in the Constitution in Article 10, it talks about our Highway User Trust Fund. Gas tax goes in the Highway User Trust Fund. Highway User Trust Fund, 62% of it is held by the state for roads and bridges. 29% goes to counties for roads and bridges. 9% goes on to what they call the MSA formula for roads and bridges in our communities. Now, folks, don't buy that argument that the gas tax is paying to subsidize light rail, because it's just not true. The other thing Senator Ortman does is try to tell people that this is a subsidization of transportation. Well, no, not really. What we're trying to do here is get rid of the hidden subsidization of transportation, and that's called property taxes. About 30%, and this is a statewide number, about 30% of your local property taxes go to fix roads and bridges. Now, Senator Ortman talked about regressive tax. Well, I think that everybody in this chamber can probably agree that the property tax system is about as regressive as it gets. So we're not trying to be regressive with this. We're trying to be upfront. The more you drive, the more you pay, period. Now, when it comes to this half-cent sales tax, there was no referendum for the twins. The governor just said, we're going to do it. So it got done. There was a sales tax imposed on Hennepin County to build a twin stadium. What we're saying is, if it's good enough for the twins, it ought to be good enough for every person in the metropolitan area so that you've got safe and efficient highway systems and good transit systems, period. Now, folks, I object to this amendment on several different levels, but I would just hope that we voted no, and I'm glad that Senator Ortman asked for a roll call, and I would let it go whichever way it goes.
Further discussion on the A24 amendment, Senator Bethel.
Madam Chair, I would move a call of the Senate.
There's a call of the Senate. Senate's under call, I mean.
Madam Chair, I would move that further proceedings under the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Further discussion on the A24 amendments. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. To correct Senator Murphy, the MVEST that we pay for when we buy a car, the motor vehicle excise sales tax, a part of that does go to transit throughout the state. And a further correction, the referendum, Madam President, on the Twins Stadium, the Hennepin County Board agreed to that on behalf of the residents of Hennepin County. We have no participation up till now of the local elected officials from the metro area that would be taxed. And I think it's interesting, members, that in the 7-county metro area, under this provision, there's a tax without the referendum. But the rural communities can decide that they would like to have an area sales tax for transit with a referendum. So in the metro area, if you live here, you don't get a vote. But if you live outside the metro area, you get to choose if you want to participate in a sales tax for transit. Do the members really think that's fair? I don't think so. And so I hope all members will support the referendum. Let the people decide if they want to invest in transit. Do we really know better than everybody in our communities? Or can we trust them to decide if this is their vision?
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, the reason why that is like this is because of the Constitution. The Constitution of the state of Minnesota says that if you have a taxing district that's less than 1 million people, you have to have a voter referendum. Now, in Pennington County or in Lincoln County, where I'm holding a resolution, and Lincoln County is probably one of the sparsest populated counties in the state, so they don't have 1 million people. But it's kind of funny, Senator Ortman, about this resolution is it basically talks about every portion of our bill. Now, if the county commissioners in Lincoln County can send us a resolution saying that, you know, be it resolved, we are for gas tax increase, indexing, vehicle registration taxes, bonding, sales tax, and new local funding tools, such as the local sales tax option, wheelage tax, street utility tax, right down the line. If Lincoln County and their county commissioners can do that, along with, and we've got the, oh, along with another host of counties, I could go down through the list, but I think I'd get tired before I hit the end of it. But members, these are the folks that we took testimony from and heard from. I mean, they're willing to do it. And if they're willing to do it, let's just do it. I mean, transportation is a thing that is going to make our state a better place economically, and it's going to make it safer. Now, back to the Constitution, we have to pass laws that meet constitutional muster. That's just the way it is. In the 7-county metropolitan area, it's a taxing district. There's more than 1 million people, and we have every right to do this, just as Hennepin County did.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, just ask the voters. You should trust them if your vision is correct and you truly represent your district in thinking that transit is what they need, then I think you should trust them and ask them if they agree.
Any further? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, my only question is, I'm hoping that if this amendment does pass, which I hope it does not, that we do the same for all the revenue sources that are called for in this bill that are new, Mr. President, because I interpret this amendment as another way of saying transit is an also-ran, is an afterthought, is something we don't really need to consider in the bill, because it treats it as something separate, something different. And, you know, maybe something that's optional. I don't think that's the case. I don't think anyone believes that's the case anymore. Transit is an integral part of our overall transportation system. Sales tax in the metro area is not a flight of fancy or something we made up. You see a handout at your desk that I distributed that shows how all of our peer regions and those that are larger than us fund their transit operations and capital through a sales tax in their metropolitan area, many of them a full cent This just calls for a half cent.
Further discussion? Secretary will take the Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield for a question?
You yield.
Not on the amendment, but on the bill.
No, we're on the amendment, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak in favor of the amendment, but I'd like to have a clarification on behalf of the author. All right. So I'll just ask the question. If someone wants to answer it, they're welcome to do so.
That'll be fine.
The provision of what we're talking about, the taxation on the 7-county metropolitan area, this extra half percent sales tax on every purchase, not just gasoline, but every purchase. Could someone in the room tell me if that's part of the base funding, or is that a supplemental funding for metropolitan projects?
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, like all the other revenue raisers that are in this bill and the ones that we currently have, it would be added to the base.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, so the voters, or not the voters, I'm sorry, we're not talking of voters if we're talking of the bill. Senator Ortman wanted to include voters in on tapping the financial wealth, what's left, of the taxpayers in the 7-county metropolitan area, and that extra half a percent on every single item that's taxed on sales tax will be, that funding will drop into the base funding. It's not even reserved for the metropolitan projects. Is that what I heard you say?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I wasn't very clear. It's for the metropolitan area, but it's going to be added to that base level of funding for the metropolitan area, for transit projects, for road projects.
Senator Limmer.
One of the concerns I have about the half a percent, we'll call it supplemental proceeds to go in for transit projects, I hope we don't get to a point sometime later on, some other legislature comes here and just assumes that that half a percent is equal to what, well, the metropolitan got theirs, metropolitan area gets theirs, they get a half a percent, and we get the rest. Because that's clearly not what this bill is about. And I want to make sure that we get agreement on that before we consider Senator Ortman's amendment, that the half a percent extra sales tax represents the specific need of the metropolitan area to have more funds to handle their concentration of transportation needs due to the population center that the Twin Cities represents. Am I correct in that? Senator Murphy, could you state something so we could have a record on...
Oh, Mr. Senator Chairman, Murphy. I'm sorry, Senator Limmer, you didn't hear my head shaking up and down, yes.
That was shaking yes. Members, the amendment before you is to allow the taxpayers in the metropolitan area to have a half a percent sales tax added to every other sales tax purchase. But the difference between the bill and the amendment is that Senator Ortman is simply asking for the voters to impose it on themselves. Now, if you turn to page 26 and you turn to page 27, I know it's been mentioned before, for taxes for counties outside the metropolitan area and cities outside of the metropolitan area, written into law, those political subdivisions must impose a transportation sales tax at a rate of 0.5% on retail sales and uses taxable under our law, subject to approval by the voters of the cities or counties outside the metropolitan area at the next general election. But somehow, the people in our metropolitan area don't deserve that same treatment. Now, Senator Murphy, you talked to me about the letter of the law. I'm talking to you about the spirit of the law, the spirit of the law that has been reflected in our tax policies on almost everything we do in taxes. And one of the principles of constitutional issue is that we have equal taxation under the law. I contend that not giving some voters the right to vote and others they do give the right to vote as possibly raising a constitutional issue on your bill. And I believe that we must, in order to keep your bill enforceable in court, I believe we have to vote for this amendment. And I'm surprised that all of the metropolitan legislators aren't allowing their taxpayers to vote on this critical issue. I kind of believe that if the metropolitan citizens were actually considering this vote, I think they'd pass it. Because this is where all the traffic jams are. This is where all the traffic need is. Over 57% of the people in the state of Minnesota live in this metropolitan area. So I'm just concerned that we once again deny the public an opportunity to have a say in anything. We did it last year with the Twin Stadium for Hennepin County. So for those of you who represent Hennepin County residents, they not only get imposed a tax specifically on them, Hennepin County taxpayers, now we're going to add on another 0.5% tax on them only.
Okay.
I don't know what that totals up to, but it's certainly close to, let's see, 6.5, add on that Twins thing, add on another 0.5%, carry the 1, and I think we're up to about 7.25, 7.375 tax on just about everything we buy in Hennepin County. And yet we will specifically tax them but not give them an opportunity to vote. Now every time we do a local option sales tax in a city, it's written into our law, we will respect the decision of our taxpayers on adding 0.5% on anything else we do, except this. Oh, and that Twins thing. So I just think for fairness and representation in the area of taxation, and to make sure that the whole process is equal, whether it's a little town outside of the metropolitan area, an outstate county that wants to participate in this, the right of taxpayers should be the same and respected across the state, whether they live in the metropolitan area or not.
All right. I think, Senator Wergen, if you wanted to say, but this, to me, this amendment is very clear, and I think we understand what it does, so I don't know if we have to debate it to death.
Well, Mr. Senator President, Wergen. You're right. The amendment is very clear, but I have an entirely different perspective than you've heard so far. I don't live in the metropolitan area. I would not, my roads, bridges, whatever, would not benefit from this 0.5% sales tax. But guess what? I'd sure contribute to the 0.5% sales tax. Let me explain a little bit why. My district is just outside of the metropolitan area, and so are some of the other districts around here just outlying the metropolitan 7-county area. So guess what we would have to do? I don't have a Walmart in my district. I don't have a Target in my district. I don't have a Kmart in my district. I don't have a JCPenney's in my district. I don't have a Herberger's in my district. And the list could go on and on. So guess where we shop? And so I would have the honor of paying into that metropolitan 0.5-cent sales tax on an ongoing basis, in spite of the fact that I don't live there. It would contribute nothing to the roads in my area, and it just simply is not the right way to do this. Thank you, members.
Let's vote. Secretary will take the roll on the Ortman Amendment. Senate is under call. We have three senators that have asked to be excused, but I think that still means a couple more that... All senators having voted. Desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 26 ayes and 36 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further amendment, Senator Day.
Mr. President, I have the A9 amendment.
Secretary will report Senator Day's A9 amendment.
Senator Day moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert Article 1. This is Amendment A-9.
Senator Day.
Mr. President and members, this is actually the governor's proposal. And I guess I would like to start off by saying compliment Senator Murphy and the staff and the Transportation Committee. I thought it was an excellent committee. We got a lot of new young people, and they got a lot of new ideas. And the chairman gave everybody opportunity to talk, and it was it functioned quite well. The one of the things in transportation that I've noticed, and I'll relate it probably to something that's a little politically incorrect, but today when I was walking over here, I was thinking about it. And I was thinking about transportation in general. And I got thinking back many, many years ago when there was about 8-10 of us on a nice afternoon in Lake Zumbro, north of Rochester, and we were on a pontoon boat. And we had a keg of beer in the middle, and we're all having a few beers, and all of a sudden, the guy in the pontoon boat took a little bit of a turn, and all of a sudden, the keg went to the back, and it went to the side, and all eight of us ran over to try and rescue it, and whoosh, you can flip a pontoon boat. I will tell you, I thought of that because I thought in transportation, all of us, want to put money into transportation, and we all want to do all these things. The problem is we're all rushing over there with all these ideas, and all of a sudden we have this huge mammoth bill. And it is always interesting to me. I noticed, that one of the articles I got today was handed out was the Minneapolis paper. In no other metro region has congestion grown so fast yet received so feeble a response as in the Twin Cities. Whoever wrote that lives under a rock. I will tell you, and the reason I tell you that, and the reason that maybe this transit funding is off, as you read the bottom, it says 2003. We put $700 million into our transit. We have fixed 494, 694. We worked on a Highway 100. The largest construction year ever in the state of Minnesota was this last summer. The second largest construction year was 2 years ago. The third largest construction year in the state of Minnesota was 3 years ago. We were here, and we were under Carlson. This isn't a bipartisan talk, or a partisan talk, I should say. It is bipartisan. We were here under Carlson 8 years. He did nothing. Ventura took $177 million from us with the license tab fees. He almost got single-handedly reelected because license plate fees were way high. Now what are we doing? Where we go again? We're headed back the other direction. $700 million in transit. They aren't in these numbers. These numbers will be different if they come out in 2007 instead of 2003 and the handout that you had. We have, in the last few years, have done more in the state in transportation, and why nobody, in the last election, I don't understand the Plenty administration not going out and actually standing on every street corner and telling people what this administration did. They might did a lot of bad things, but one of the things they haven't done bad was actually in construction of highways all across the entire state. What this bill does, and this is the something that I hope everybody thinks about a little bit. What this does is gives us $1.7 billion. $1.7 billion and doesn't tax anybody. We had the voters. We all pleaded with the voters, please give us more money last November. Please give us more money. You know what they did? They went to the polls and said, you know what, Minnesota? We're going to give you more money. Now we got their money. We can take it and tell them now we're going to do something with your money. We're going to give you $1.7 billion worth of construction projects all across the state. And you did it because you went to the polls. We took it out of the general fund, and we put it into where it always has belonged, into construction and roads and whatever. We can now do that. And they're sitting out there watching us saying, wait a minute, you wanted more money, we gave you more money. But we're parlaying it. And you can imagine what you can get on $1.7 billion, what the projects cost. Crosstown has already went up $30, $40 million in a year. When you can do these projects right away, it is so important. People say, well, you're mortgaging your kids' future, whatever. What is the difference between a road and a trail or a park? What's the difference in swimming pools and rec centers? And you've seen all the things that I voted for. Because I always vote, Senator Langsdorff always has a great bonding bill. He goes out across the state, he looks at projects, and they scope them out, and we come back, and we all vote for them. And they're good projects. There's nothing wrong with bonding for roads when you have the money to pay off the debt. So we got the opportunity that we can do $1.7 billion, raise nobody's taxes, and we can do that. We can do that here today. I could care less about a governor's veto. You aren't going to hear that from my mouth. This bill is too heavy. It's tipping the pontoon. It's done tipped it. And we got a problem. And we got to figure out a way to do it. And this is one of the ways. Now, some people say, well, it isn't enough money. It's a big chunk of money. 2 years from now, after we get this one going, between now and 2 years from now, we can come back. We'll figure out the next project. Maybe gas won't be at $2.50. My goodness, if you think of the gas tax that you're going to put into this bill, we're talking 18 cents. That's almost 100% increase. And somebody says, well, Dick, it isn't that much because gas jumps way up and gas doesn't jump down. Boy, I'm telling you, when gas is at $2.40, $2.50, the last thing my constituents are saying, hey, Dick, go raise it 20 cents. I don't think it's the time right now to do that. I know that there was something in on congestion. And as I just said, congestion in Minnesota is better. The last study that came out, better than it has been. And there isn't anybody that drives around the belt lane and they can see that we got six lanes. For 25 years, somebody could move to Cleveland. They would come back and they'd say, Dick, you guys got the same four-lane beltway going around Minneapolis-St. Paul you had 25 years ago. Not anymore. Not anymore, because About 4 years ago, we started, and with Senator Murphy and his Transportation Committee and all of us, we weighed in, and I was trying to think of the year. I think it was back, I don't know the exact year, but I think it was the first year Plenty was in. We had $800 million for more than 200 highway projects throughout the state, and $100 million for road maintenance and safety, and $40 million was put in for transit. So our congestion has been improved. We talk about other things. We got less deaths. Less people killed last year on the highways than we've had since World War II. I'm not going to take credit for it, but there's a whole group of people in this chambers that can take a lot of credit for it, because you've been doing a lot of good things, and we built different roads. We did a lot of different projects. Our deaths are going down, and granted, as Senator Murphy said, the troopers. The other day, it was interesting to me when Congressman Overstar came, who is a very sound transportation expert. But one of the things that I did kind of maneuver on was a couple things he brought up, and I sat and I thought, whoa, this is kind of different. First off, he's saying, you people in Minnesota, raise your taxes. Raise your gas taxes. Hey, why don't you raise them in Washington, D.C.? You haven't raised them since, I think, 91 or 92 in Washington, D.C. Don't come tell us to raise them. Why don't you raise them? They're, I think, 20 cents or 18 and a half cents in the federal government. Why don't you do it? We know why they haven't done it for all those years. We know why they haven't done it. They haven't had the will. They're telling us. Then the other one was, and that one, this one I have to kind of get right because I don't want to mention it wrong, but he mentioned that we in the state don't use the money they give us. You know, what? Think of this. He says, the state of Minnesota, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $50 million, and we're going to use it for Highway 53. Will you people please match it? It's got a car count of 2,100 cars a day. There's cul-de-sacs in Minneapolis that have more cars than that. I can't believe it. And he says, down in my area, we have 8,800 cars a day on a new highway we want to get built. He's telling us, why don't you guys go match the funds? We would have to be idiots to match the funds. Please give us the $50 million, but let's give it to Minneapolis, Richfield, Northfield. I don't care where we give it. We don't have to give it on a road that nobody travels. And I know Senator Bach isn't here because I love Senator Bach, and he's gone. Maybe I can talk now good about that. Don't tell him I said all this. I won't get him all mad and won't hear any of my tax bills. But anyway, we can do this bill without raising taxes. And I'm not going to go through, the car taxes and this tax and whatever, because I think what you always have to do is start personalizing things a little bit. Because we all get in our car and we drive and we move around and we do different things. And so what I did is I put together, and the Transportation Committee, I shared this a little bit, but a family of four living in Roseville that has three drivers. They have three vehicles, two sedans and one pickup truck. Guess who drives the pickup truck? Okay. Anyway, Dad is the original owner of the 1995 pickup. He drives 12,000 miles a year. He will pay an extra $120 in gas taxes in 2008. He'll pay a Ramsey County wheelage tax of $20 and $81 for the new Metro sales tax. Mom, she's doing all right, so she gets a new car. Costs $25,000. By the way, that's the average of the new cars, and $25,600 is the average of new cars that are purchased in Minnesota. It gets 25 miles per gallon, so she's smarter than people like me that are driving stuff that get 18. She drives 15,000 miles a year and will pay an extra $60 in gas taxes, $20 for the new car surcharge, $40 increased tab fees, a $20 wheelage tax, and $81 for the Metro sales tax. They also have a teenager, and he has a second car, mom's old car. She'll spend an extra $28 for gas, $20 for wheelage, $40 for sales tax. This comes $580. Basically what it is, if you think about it, and this is light. This is light. A lot of people will be up in the $700 range. What it means is for Senator Murphy's bill, somebody that's making $40,000 a year, it would take them, they would have to get a 2% increase just to pay for this bill. Not for anything else. Just for this bill. 2% increase. And I don't know how raises out around, but I'm going to tell you, in my area, a couple, 2, 3% is what people are getting. And somebody says, well, congestion. Well, you know, they're going to have to either go to work earlier or go home later or whatever, but they will figure a way that will help them, I would hope, with the congestion. But if you think about it, that kind of sets it puts it together in exactly what's out there. You know, one of the other things that people have always talked, and in this borrowing, we're not going to be borrowing for potholes. We're going to be borrowing for short-term fixes and adding lanes and doing things that can move Minnesota ahead. People say, well, the other thing is borrowing. Well, you know, we all borrowed for college. You borrow money and then you pay it back. We borrow money for a home. Who doesn't borrow money and pay off their mortgage with, you know, sometimes high interest rates? But so that's not uncommon. I guess the main thing that I wanted to get to, and I think we can wrap it up pretty quick, is that this is very, very costly for a lot of Minnesotans. And I don't know where we're all going to end on this. I hope that that we can all settle down after we get through the first thing. I want to compliment, and you got to realize I could go on through, you know, the lease vehicles and all sorts of different appropriations, but I think what's going to happen is we're all going to have to realize that we got to put our heads together and figure all this out. I don't speak for the governor. I'm carrying the governor's bill because, in all honesty, I like it. I absolutely like it. We got the money. We do the $1.7 billion. We do what we got to do, and we don't raise taxes. I like the bill. So I hope that people can vote for it. As I said before, I think that we in this body have to handle our transportation and our highways and bridges and our transit in the metropolitan area. And if people ask me out in greater Minnesota and they say, well, Dick, what all's happening? I say, well, in the metropolitan area, they have major, major congestion. People are sitting in their little steel cocoons with their tunes turned up, and they're whiling away their hours, and that's why Senator Murphy is talking about congestion, because they are out here sitting, and I understand that. I hate to see them sitting at those cotton-picking ramp meter lights, because they're worthless, but they do spend a little time sitting at them also. But out in our area, they're killing people. So it isn't like we don't, on two-lane roads, so it isn't like we don't need money into transportation. I compliment Senator Murphy bringing it forward, and his bill as we got right now, I just think, is too heavy. I'll end the story by telling you this, and maybe this is where we'll all head. We did upright the pontoon, and we got it back to shore, and we did save the keg of beer.
Was there any left? Is it? There will be a roll call. Senator Murphy, then we're going to vote.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first I want to compliment Senator Day for saving the keg. But in all seriousness, folks, Senator Day brings up a couple issues that we do need to compliment the department on, and compliment our state highway patrol men and women, and also law enforcement all across the state. That's the reason why that death toll that Senator Day talked about has come down. It's because of increased enforcement out on our highways. But let me tell you about some of the hidden costs. Now, Senator Day talks about the $580 that this bill is going to cost the average family, and I think he said lives in Roseville. Yes, that's true. But the cost of congestion was priced by two different organizations. One was the Minnesota State Chamber of Commerce that says that average family, it costs them in the metropolitan area about $700, more than $700. I think the number was $723, an increased cost because you're sitting in congestion and not going anyplace. Plus, you're losing hours and hours every year. They estimated at 90, where you're either not on the job site earning money, helping your employer realize their potential, or you're not home with your family. You're missing soccer games in the summertime. You're missing the basketball games in the winter. And you can't put a price on that because everybody in this chamber knows what that's like because we miss some of our family's activities. Not because we're sitting in traffic. It's because we're sitting here talking about something so that other families can enjoy time together. Now, the federal government, in their federal registrar, and this comes from our Secretary of Transportation, Ms. Peters, has estimated that the cost of congestion costs every man, woman, and child all across the country $1,500 a year. And I would say that the lion's share of that is because businesses can't get their products to where they need to be. We all know what kind of environment we play in today. I wish that our friend Senator Curlin was still here today to explain what just-in-time deliveries are, because he deals with Fastenal. Fastenal supplies my employer with all their fasteners, cleaning products. I mean, it's a plethora of products that they supply. But when we go to get that widget or that nut or that bolt that Bob Curlin supplies to us, and it's not there because his truck is stuck in traffic or they had a crash, that means that me, the maintenance guy, can't fix a piece of equipment and put our unit back online so that our company realizes their economic potential. So there is a lot of hidden cost to congestion and crashes on our roads that nobody realizes. The biggest one is that tragedy when we lose someone on our roads. Now, you can't hang a price on human life. We heard from families last night, and it was just gut-wrenching. Senator Day, you were there. You heard the testimony. Just gut-wrenching about a family that had lost their daughter, another family had lost their son, and basically nothing happened to the perpetrators of what I felt was a pretty violent crime. We tried to address those families to their needs and what they saw as being better public policy. But I can tell you, folks, that every time somebody dies on Minnesota roads, it costs those families that grief that we can't hang a dollar figure on. But the things that we can hang a dollar figure on, the increased cost to our emergency medical technicians, our increased cost to our state patrol, to our county deputies, the increased cost of the fire department to have to go out and put the car fire out, the increased cost in insurance, medical, and in Senator Limmer's district, every time there's a crash and somebody's seriously hurt or dead, they have to send the helicopter to get them because the ambulance can't get there because the traffic's too heavy. That drives the cost up. Every time somebody dies on Minnesota roads, it costs the public $1.1 million. $1.1 million. Now, Senator Day talks about the $580. I already kind of dispelled that. The State Chamber of Commerce says the cost of congestion is $700. The Federal Register says, and the Secretary of Transportation says it's north of $1,500 every year. But now I want to speak directly to the bonding bill and to Senator Day's analogy of tipping the pontoon over. Well, our governor tipped the pontoon over the first time that we authorized bonds under his administration. Did it build a lot of stuff? Yes, it did. It built a lot of stuff, and that's good things. That is a great thing. But what happened was at the end of the day, they started to run out of money because they had a huge debt service obligation on those bonds. So they started robbing construction funds. They started robbing the funds that we do maintenance, snow plowing, putting up stop signs after somebody wipes them out, repairing a guardrail, putting up new lighting. They started robbing those funds. As a matter of fact, they took $100 million from federal funds that were supposed to go to Greater Minnesota, hopefully to fix that nightmare down there in Senator Day's district called Highway 14. That's the most dangerous stretch of road in Minnesota. And it's one of the top five dangerous roads in the whole United States. The governor took $100 million because he couldn't cover the debt service on his first bonding bill. That delayed the construction down on Highway 14. That delayed the construction up on 23 or wherever it is up in Senator Bach's neck of the woods. $100 million. That's the true price of a bonding bill. When you have to rob your maintenance funds and rob your construction funds, push projects out, delay them, cancel them, that's not a good idea. Our bill pays for the bonding, and yes, Senator Day, it costs money. And we know that every time that we want to build something around here, it costs a lot of money. The metropolitan area, it's pretty easy to calculate this. Lane mile and or a mile of road in the metropolitan area is about $3 million. Greater Minnesota, it's a little more than $800,000. They don't give roads away. They don't give roads away. So we have to make the decision. Do we want more bonding? And at least in this proposal, the governor is trying to recognize that bonds cost money. So what's he do? He grabs all that money that we voted on in the last election on the invest and uses it for debt service reduction. He grabs up the lease tax money, uses it for debt service reduction. Now, at least under this program, at least under the governor's program today, and I got to give him credit for recognizing how much bonds actually cost, that money first gets applied to the formula. So the counties and the municipals that I talked about earlier with the MSA and the CASA formulas, they will get a little bit of money. Not very much, but they'll get a little bit. We like that. I kind of like that. Because under his first proposal, guess how much they got? Nothing. Nothing. Now, folks, we're not just here to build state trunk highways. We're here to build a transportation system that works for everybody in the state of Minnesota. So I would ask that, and Senator Day, I got to hand it to you. You speak with more passion, and it comes from your gut, and I appreciate that, when you talk about the state of our roads today, what they were yesterday, and your vision for the future. You've got an unbelievable amount of passion. I would hope at the end of the day that we can pass a bill that the governor signs, and Senator Day, I want you to be there and helping us with that, as well as Senator Jungbauer, because I believe that it's at the end of the day, we're going to get something that moves Minnesota forward. Now, I would speak against the governor's program simply because the invest fund and the lease tax vehicle funds don't pay for 100% of his bonding program. It doesn't. Because there's 4 or 5 years there where there's red numbers on the ledger sheet. So it's like the old Fram oil commercial. Greasy mechanic standing there, and he's got a Fram oil filter in his hand. And he says, hey, you can pay me now, change your oil, change your filter. Or you can pay me later. And he's got a brand new, nice, shiny engine block there. So you can either pay $5 now or you can pay $500 later. So let's move Minnesota forward. We don't need to pay later. We should pay now. Our folks did that for us. Their grandparents did it for them. Let's just step to the plate and do what I believe is the right thing. Folks, I would ask that you vote against the Day Amendment. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Day, rebuttal. Senator Day.
People that are in the chamber, have some faith. Have some faith. We have a leader that is doing a wonderful job in transportation along with Senator Murphy's transportation and Representative Leader. Think about this. I mean, you can think about the deaths. The deaths are going down since 1946. It's during his administration, whether you like it or not. But let me read a couple other things. These are projects that have been completed. I-94 to 694 from Brooklyn Boulevard to I-494. Highway 100 north of I-394. I-394 HOV lane conversions to Min Pass. I-394 westbound auxiliary lane from Louisiana Avenue to Highway 169. I-494 from France Avenue to Highway 212. I-494 from Highway 5 to Carlson Parkway. I-494, first portion of the Wakota Bridge. I-94 from McKnight Road to Highway 120. Highway 100 auxiliary lanes from Highway 7 to I-394. Highway 169 at Anderson Lakes Parkway and Pioneer Trail. These are all projects. These are huge projects. All completed under the Plenty-Moulneau highway regime. Greater Minnesota, 371 north of Little Falls, Highway 53 in Duluth, Highway 52 in Rochester, major overhaul, Highway 63 in Rochester, Highway 14 down in my area from Janesville to Waseca, interchange in Highway 10 at Highway 32 in Clay County, interchange in Highway 169 at Highway 19 near Henderson, Highway 23 through Spicer, Highway 336 from I-94 to Highway 10 in Moorhead, Main Avenue Bridge in Moorhead. Have some faith. Have some faith. Don't tax your people 40-cent gas tax. I mean, if you take and add on another 18, 20 cents, we're going to go to about third or fourth highest in the United States with a combination of the federal tax. And by ourselves, we'll jump way up on the top again. So I just, somebody has proposed some things, and all of these things got done without a gas tax. All of these things got done without taxing people. A 2% on a $40,000 wage going into just one bill. They got a lot of other priorities, and I agree with Senator Murphy, and I hope that as we all rumble through all of this, that we do end up and have a good package when we're all done. Thanks.
Secretary will take the roll on Senator Day's amendment. Senate is under call. Okay, all senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the rolls. There being 22 ayes, 42 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion on Senate File 1986? Senator Wergen.
Mr. President, I have the A-55 amendment, and hopefully we can do that one fairly quickly.
Okay, the secretary will report Senator Wergens.
Senator Wergen moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 24, line 6. This is the A55 amendment.
Senator Wergen on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment is fairly short, members. We rejected the right of the voters to vote on the half-cent increase sales tax. This just simply says that the metropolitan, the seven county boards of commissioners have to approve the sales tax before it goes into effect. So it does basically what we did with the Twin Stadium. And I will tell you that I objected to that being good enough, but if that was for the Twins, then at least let's do that for this bill. It just says that the majority of the county boards in each county must approve the sales tax before it goes in effect. Thank you, members.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Any further discussion, Senator Vandeveer? On the bill.
Mr. President, I have the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report the Vandeveer A51 amendment.
Senator Vandeveer moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 47 after line 18, insert. This is the A51 amendment.
Senator Vandeveer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request a roll call on the amendment.
There will be a roll call. Senator
Thank
Vandeveer.
You. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it simply stops any further toll roads in Minnesota. It does exclude any highway or highway lane having a toll imposed on or before July 1st, 2006, so the existing HOV lanes could stay. And it does allow a bridge connecting a highway with an adjacent state or province to have a toll. But other than that, members, it simply bans any further expansion of toll roads. I think that looking at the bill that we have before us today, that there is certainly ample revenue to expand and maintain our highway system. I don't think the people of Minnesota did anything to us, so let's not inflict toll roads on them. So I would ask for your support.
Discussion on the Vandeveer Amendment. Secretary, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge caution about this amendment. Right now, the federal government is making available an amount of money exceeding $1 billion for urban areas that submit a proposal that's called the Urban Partnership Agreement, that deals with reducing congestion in metropolitan areas across the country. Senator Murphy and I attended a White House conference on this issue a few weeks ago, and the metropolitan areas of our state stand a real good chance of participating in one of these grants. The four elements that need to be part of the proposals are transit, technology, telecommuting, and the ability to have congestion pricing, which is what we have along MnPass. I would hate to see this amendment have a chilling effect on being able to use congestion pricing in a project put forward to the federal government to deal with congestion in our metropolitan areas. It's not the same thing as tolling, but I believe that this amendment would have could have a chilling effect. And Senator Vandeveer just said that it wouldn't affect MnPass on 394. But it would, but he's saying, in a sense, that the congestion pricing on 394 is the same as tolling, which it is not. So I hope members would reject this amendment now, and regardless of how you feel about general tolls, like along the Pennsylvania Turnpike or the Indiana Toll Road, or any of that, that's not the kind of proposition that either the state of Minnesota or the maybe the Metropolitan Council or a consortium of metro counties will be making to get some federal dollars into our metropolitan areas to deal with the huge concerns we have about congestion in our areas. Again, the four elements of those proposals need to be transit, telecommuting, technology, and the ability to a proposal that involves some congestion pricing. So I would ask members to vote no.
All right. The secretary will take the roll on the Vanderveer motion. All senators having voted. Secretary will close the roll. There being 20 ayes and 40 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. It's pretty easy stuff. We all know we need more money for transportation. That's kind of a gimme. You know, last year we had some good bipartisan ideas on our conference committee, things that didn't end up going anywhere, and I was really it was tragic that nothing happened there. And most of that stuff's not even in the transportation bill this year, and that really bothers me. But to Senator Murphy, you know, this bill is a business killer. You know, and I quote you, Senator Murphy, saying, the more you drive, the more you pay. Well, for guys like me, that's not good. In the plumbing and heating business, the septic business, we drive a lot, and we have to go a long way today to get business. So we end up paying a lot of new taxes on this bill. You know, I actually had an amendment that I thought might be able to make this bill better, and I'm not going to offer that, members, because I think this is just too big of a pig to fix with some earrings. You know, the only argument here in this chamber really is, where did all the surplus go, and why don't we see that in transportation? Because members out in my district and every place around there, people are saying, well, if we got a surplus and you're not going to give it back, I hope you're going to fix the roads with it. And, you know, it's really sad that we're not seeing that whole surplus go to transportation, because it has no tails. We can actually fix some things and have no tails. You know, all these things just pile on top of each other. A fuel tax, a vehicle registration tax, a metro-wide sales tax, a wheelage tax, an expansion of the Met Council Transit Taxing District. Members, that would affect like 80% of my district with no hope to ever get transit under that new tax. And Senator Murphy, where did all the money go before? For many, many years we've seen this coming, and we didn't put any money to it, and we didn't fix it. We knew how long roads lasted. And it just seems like now we have a bill here where we're trying to fix it all in 1 year. It just is too much for the average person. So members, as you guys are always trying to come up with a new word, I came up with a new word for this bill. I call it the supercalifragilistic let's be taxed bodaciously bill. That's what I think this one is today, and I urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Sir. Any further discussion on Senate File 1986? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment that should be at the desk fairly soon. It's very simple. It's a deletion. On page 47, Article 9, Section 5. And this is my concern. This says that we give priority for projects with a federal match. And I kind of think I know how this evolved. It's when one of our U.S. congressmen, who has, you know, probably good for us, a lot of clout in Washington, was able to earmark some money for projects here, and they weren't in the state highway plan. And so there's been some consternation about how they should be funded with the state match. And this seems to say to me, this particular section, that we have to give priority to what Washington wants to fund. Not what the state of Minnesota wants to fund, but what Washington wants to fund. And I think that's wrong, because all of our projects are in jeopardy with this particular provision of being bumped out, because we only have so much state funding. And if we have to match a project for a roadway in northern Minnesota that has very low traffic volumes, then a project perhaps in one of our areas, maybe it would be Senator Vickerman's State Highway 14 or some other project in one of our areas, is going to have to wait. Get behind them. Now you're behind them. Even though the state has determined that maybe Senator Vickerman's project should be higher priority, but you have to get behind them because somebody else decided that money should go to a pet project somewhere else. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Murphy, but I do believe that that's what this provision is saying, and I don't think it's appropriate. I think it should be deleted, because we should follow our plans. And sometimes there may be exceptions, but the Commissioner of Transportation and their staff should be able to review those and not just be told it's a priority. You have to do it. Whatever they say, it's going to be a priority. So I don't know.
Are
if
you, Senator, are you, is this an amendment you're deleting?
Yes, and I, Senate Council, has it been released yet? It's a Roebling amendment?
We have other amendments at the desk. Why don't you try to get that drafted, and if you still want to do it, but
Mr. President,
take the ones that are done.
Mr. Senator President, we can do Senator Roebling's amendment. It's pretty easy. It can be oral, page 47, delete section 5 in Article 9. That's what I think Senator Roebling wants to do. We can vote on that.
Now, we're gonna. I understand your... No, we're not going to do that. We're going to take the two at the desk, and it's being drafted, even though I can understand it and most people can, but we're going to wait till do the ones that are here. Senator Ortman has an amendment, and Thomasoni are the two that are up here now. Senator Ortman, Secretary will report.
The A-50 amendment.
The A-50 Ortman amendment.
Senator Ortman moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 23, line 34. This is the A-50 amendment.
Senator Ortman on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the members of this body. If I had a bill that said that I wanted to impose a tax on McLeod and Sibley County to help pay for roads in Carver County, would you vote yes for that bill? If I had a bill that said I wanted to impose a tax on Cook County and Coochie-Ching County to pay for roads in Carver County, would that be okay? I ask you to support the A-50 amendment. What it does is it asks that we be allowed Carver and Scott County to be taken out of the metropolitan area sales tax area. There are no projects, zero, no projects in the 30-year plan for transit for Carver and Scott County. And I put you to the test. This is merely a tax grab. The other five counties, want the tax base from Carver and Scott County to pay for their transit projects. But we don't have any transit in Carver and Scott County. There's none proposed for the next 30 years. But they sure want our money from the metropolitan area sales tax. There is a good reason why the House transportation bill does not include Carver and Scott County. I'm going to say that one more time. The House transportation bill does not include Carver and Scott County in the metropolitan area sales tax, because there's no transit proposed for the next 30 years.
So I ask you to support me. What this would allow would be Carver and Scott County would be treated just like every other county. We could opt in with our own sales tax if we want to pay for transit in our communities, but we shouldn't have to be paid taxed to pay for transit in those five metropolitan counties. Now, I did try to ask for a referendum so we could all vote for the fairness of this, but you all disagreed with that, and I respect that. And then Senator Wergen asked that everybody allow each of the county board members an opportunity to vote and come up with a majority. The chamber did not agree to that. At this point, I would ask you, on behalf of the residents of Scott and Carver County, to please exempt us, put us into the treatment like everybody else, the other 82 counties, add us in. So there will be the five in the Twin Cities area, and then the rest of us. Please allow us out at this point. Please vote for
the
amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Murphy. Then.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would rise to oppose that amendment, and I would hope that the body would too. You know, what Senator Ortman doesn't want to tell anybody is that, you know, we build these park and rides all over the metropolitan area, and people use them from outside the metropolitan area. They even use them. There's even people using park and rides from Carver and Scott County, and there's more park and rides that are going to get built. And guess what? Senator Roebling and Senator Ortman's constituents are going to benefit because of that. Senator Jungbauer's constituents are going to benefit from that. So, members, as we start to move through this long construction process to build out transit projects all across the state, every person will be affected. Now, Senator Ortman, you talked about a money grab. Now, I wasn't real happy when I lost that $100 million of federal funding that was supposed to come to Greater Minnesota that went to pay the debt service on the bonds for a project that was in your neck of the woods. Now, I groused around about it. Senator Day groused around about it. A lot of us country people, we all groused around about it. But at the end of the day, 212, well, it's not done yet, but it's going to get there. And so, you know, to do this kind of seems like a double standard. Folks, I would just say no. Let's not vote for this.
Senator Dibble, did you wish to? Okay, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, it's really hard to pay for things that you don't have a direct service from. As Senator Ortman said, there's no plans for projects in Scott and Carver counties in the next 30 years. It would be like saying to all of the peripheral counties around the metro area that they're going to be brought into this with no referendum also, because it's the same thing. If you're a smaller county and you get no projects, you're still going to have to pay for it because, well, that's just the way it is. You're close enough. So then we should probably be expanding this to include a lot more members, and I don't think any of you from those counties are jumping up and down asking for that without a referendum. And so we're just saying, if we're not going to get the projects, we want our people to decide by a vote, by a referendum, whether or not they're willing to contribute. If we have a lot of people commuting, and we have some, I'll acknowledge that, we have people commuting, then maybe they will say, this is worth it. This is a good idea, and this is worth it, and we'll contribute to it. But you know what? The farmers in Belle Plaine and Jordan and New Market, New Germany and Cologne, they don't need transit. I mean, it's no different than rural Minnesota and those parts of our counties. And so I think we should at least ask them if they think it's worth it. Let them be considered like outstate where projects aren't proposed either. We're in the same boat they are, and so I ask you to support Senator Ortman's amendment.
Okay, we're on the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Any further discussion, Senator Tomassoni?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A54 amendment.
Secretary will report the Tomassoni.
Senator Tomassoni moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 49. After line 17, insert, this is the A54 amendment.
Members, the A54 amendment is just another way to commemorate our veterans who have been fought in our wars. In this particular statute, there are ways of getting special veterans license plates, and the ones that you can get right now are a Vietnam vet, Pearl Harbor survivor, a World War I, a World War II vet, a Korean vet, a combat wounded vet, a Gulf War vet, a Laos war vet, an Iraq war vet, and an Afghan war vet, a global war on terrorism veteran, and this one just adds a Bronze Star vet to it, so it just adds one more.
Further discussion on the Tomassoni amendment. Tomassoni amendment, all those, Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you know I very rarely stand up and say no to a issue that may benefit our families of veterans and veterans. But this bill has not been heard in committee, and I would hope that Senator Tomassoni, I appreciate this, and we'll give you a hearing on your bill. Send us a request, and we'll hear your bill, and we'll let it travel on its own. But I think that, you know, the department needs to look at this, and I think that our committee also does too. So, members, as hard as it is to rise in opposition, that's what I'm doing.
So any further discussion, Senator Tomassoni? Well,
Mr. Chairman, I understand Senator Murphy's wanting to see it in committee. This particular statute has a $10 fee on it, so it's not as if it will cost any money, and it will honor some veterans who have gotten a Bronze Star. And I would hope you could see your way through to letting this go on your bill, Senator Murphy.
On the Tomassoni amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does not prevail. Senator Roebling, your amendment is now at the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I offer the A56 amendment.
Secretary will report the Roebling A56 amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 1986 as follows, page 47, delete section 5. This is the A56
Senator amendment. Roebling on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the amendment that I was proposing before. It's simply a deletion. It takes out the effort to set as priority projects that come with federal matches. And I think I explained it already. I have concern about some dictation of projects from Washington, D.C., and I think that we should be the ones setting our project priorities. If Washington wants to work with us, that's great, but it has to come from the state. And I don't want other projects bumped off the list and waiting for their turn for funding and having them delayed and delayed because there might be another project that's going to jump in and ahead of them because of something that happens in Washington. So I don't know, Senator Murphy, this is my understanding of this provision, and so I hope members would support the amendment.
On the Roebling motion, Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Roebling, you know, it's, I would caution anybody to just poo-poo the Highway 53 project. That's been designated by Congress as an international trade corridor, and it was designated that way.
What, people will listen to you, or what?
I think we're okay, Mr. President. Just had a little incident in our hallway here. But Senator Roebling, that's an international trade corridor. There is an incredible amount of truck traffic on Highway 53 when you get north of Virginia to International Falls. And our congressman recognized that, designated it an international trade corridor, which made it available for some federal funding. Senator Roebling, people die. People die every year on Highway 53 north of Virginia because there are hundreds. It's a residential area with a major highway going to Canada, going to the Boundary Waters, going to Voyageurs National Park. and they're pulling in the summer, they're pulling boats and campers, and in the winter, they're pouring snowmobile trailers, and many of you in here have been on that highway to come up to northern Minnesota and play. And that's why Congressman Oberstar made sure that we got 80% of the money to fund that project, because it's a very dangerous road, and there is a lot of traffic count there. And it just seems to me kind of foolish, when we have 80% of the money to build a project, to not move forward with it, when all we have to do is pay for 20% to fix a very dangerous piece of road that people die on every year. Why would we want to wait to someday in the future, every year more people die, and someday in the future MnDOT will come to the sense that we should build that, and we have to do it with all state money? It makes no sense when the federal government's willing to pay for 80% of the project that we not move forward and do it. So, members, I urge you to vote against Senator Roebling's amendment.
Further discussion on the Roebling motion. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, then I'll just be brief. I can understand the good senator's comments, but I don't think, Mr. President, we ought to engage a policy or process in Minnesota that really depends on the effectiveness of a particular senator or a representative in Washington to earmark funds. We all know that there's congressmen and so on serve on different committees don't have necessarily the ability to do that. Congressman Oberstar has a tremendous ability to do that, but I dare say the first district congressional person doesn't, and we could probably go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, frankly, and they don't have the ability. And so we're going to have a situation, basically, where Congressman Oberstar is going to be the new commissioner of highway in Minnesota. And I don't think that's good policy. I think we ought to kind of stick with the program we have and let MnDOT and through their processes, which I think are generally fair, put together highway priorities in Minnesota. And if we leave that, if we depend on earmarks, we're going to cultivate the whole process of earmarks. And I don't think that's going to be either right for this state or, for that matter, right for this country.
I think Senator Tomasoni, then we're going to vote on the amendment. Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President and members, I'd urge a no vote on this. It's absolutely crazy for the state of Minnesota to be thinking about sending federal dollars back to Washington, because when we send federal dollars back to Washington because we don't put up a match, they go to a different state. They don't get not spent. They get spent somewhere else, and somewhere else gets highway funds that Minnesota would have normally gotten. So for the 10% match that, or the 20% match, or whatever it is that the federal government requires for these funds, if we send money back to Washington, we're out of our minds.
Mr. We're on that, Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I'm going to speak against the amendment, but first I need to clarify a few things for the sake of being open. The state of Minnesota has never sent $1 of federal money for road projects back to the federal government. These appropriations that are made as earmarks at the federal level are in perpetuity. They're until the dollars get expended. So the dollars that Senator Bach and Senator Tomasoni is talking about up there by International Falls, that money is going to stay there until the state can match it and get it spent. The state has matched some of that money already, and some of it's been spent. But Senator Roebling, you have to understand why it went in the bill. Not so much that we were afraid of losing federal money, because, like I said, it's in perpetuity. It's going to hang around. But what we didn't want it to do was to sit around forever. Senator Bach, that road needs to get fixed. There's a lot of fatalities up there. Just like if there was earmarked money for Highway 14, I'd be making the same argument. We need to match that, and we need to do it post-haste. The problem that we have, and the reason this is in the bill, is because we don't have enough money to meet the federal matches that come to us in a timely manner. What we're saying is that's money. 80% of a road project is going to get built by federal funds. Let's just, fill up the rest of the pot and get that project done, because there's other federal money that comes in on an annual basis, and we can capture that money, apply it to the money that we have, and build things like finishing off 212 or whatever the project may be that is already on the schedule.
Now, folks, there's been inside of MnDOT, there's been projects that were not on the 10-year plan that all of a sudden got funded. They jumped above a lot of other projects, and they got funded. So if MnDOT is making the argument that they want to stick to their schedule and they don't want the interruption of federal earmarked funds, they've already blown the cap on that. MnDOT has already blown the cap on it because they have, on more than one occasion, I can name one road, I'm not gonna, they've already taken projects that weren't on the 10-year plan. They might not even have been on the 20-year plan. And then all of a sudden they're moved to the top and they were funded. So MnDOT can't claim to be virgins in this territory. All we're saying is if the federal dollars are there, we have to do what we can to make sure that they're matched and those projects move forward.
Okay, Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
There will be a roll call.
But I'd also like to point out that it's okay if MnDOT on occasion changes its mind, because there are circumstances that always come up. There's development that occurs in certain areas. There may be new industries that move in that need certain interchanges or something. Sometimes we have to do it for other reasons than that we didn't know about when we put together a long-range plan. And I think MnDOT can and will be flexible and would work with the federal officials. But I think that if we're going to tell the federal officials that no matter what they do, they have priority, we're not even asking them to cooperate with our state officials. And I think that should be a top priority, is cooperation between the different entities of government. And so I think this is bad to have in here. It just sends a signal. You can tell us what to do, and we're going to have to follow it. And that is poor policy for our state. It's poor for the people that we put in positions to lead us and to plan and develop a good highway transportation system for all of us.
Secretary will take the roll on the Roebling Amendment. Senate is under call. All senators voting, desire to vote. Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 20 ayes and 45 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1986. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1986 its third reading.
Senate File 1986, a bill for an act relating to transportation appropriations, appropriating money for transportation, Metropolitan Council, and public safety activities, etc.
Secretary, before the vote, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we take a vote on this, I just want to remind people of what kind of tax increases we're including in this bill. And I know Senator Murphy says we have a Mount Rushmore problem, or a Mount Everest problem. Mount Rushmore is a little smaller. But and that we need to tackle it. Well, we don't all aspire to climb Mount Everest. And even if we do, most of us don't have the time or the money to do it. And it's just like this bill. There is a lot of work that can be done in the state of Minnesota. But to take this all on at one time is a tremendous burden on our families in this state. And we know that the cost, Senator Day pointed out what the cost is, and it's a big cost. And so those families who might want to take a vacation all of a sudden will find that any excess money that they have in their family budget that maybe they could have taken a vacation with isn't even going to be there because they're going to be spending it on gas taxes that are almost double in a few years, going from 20 cents to 38 cents a gallon. They're going to be paying more for all sorts of fees. They're going to be paying more for their license tabs that they have to renew every year. There's just a host of tax increases in here, and Senator Murphy has been honest about it, and he's acknowledged what those are. But you know what? It is too much too fast. The whole 10 cents is put on in 1 year for the gas tax increase. How do people budget for that? How do they plan? How do our businesses, our trucking companies, how do they plan for these increases that are going to take effect almost immediately? This is a big burden, not only on families, but on our business community. And I have been advocating for transportation funding for a long time, but this is like the same song, third verse. This is the third year we have passed a great big whopper of a bill in this chamber, and I expect it will pass today, even though a number of us object to it. But we still don't have anything. If we could have done something moderate 2 or 3 years ago, we would be well on our way. We could add a little bit every year. We could ease people into this. Their budgets would be able to handle it. But no, we keep coming back asking for the big one. The big one. Instead of taking incremental steps like we should be doing. And so, members, I just ask that we reject this and come back and come with a moderate package that we know we can pass, that we know the public can support. And we're here every year. We can do some more next year. We can do some more the year after. Let people budget for some of these things. But this is a budget buster. And so I hope you'll join me in voting against it.
Senator Murphy, then we're going to vote.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we've had a healthy debate on the issue, and I'm not going to talk about the issue, but I'm going to just say once again, thanks to everybody that helped put this package together, both Democrats and Republicans. I think that our committee did some Herculean work in regards to transportation and transit projects all across the state. And once again, members, every time you pass in the hallway, Ms. Berzoski, Ms. Boyd, all the folks that work downstairs, just say thanks because, you know, they're the ones that make us look good, and we do good enough making ourselves look bad, but they make us look good. And again, members, I just want to thank Senator Dibble, commend his subcommittee, and Senator Rest, your subcommittee, and you personally. And folks, today is Katie Sieben's birthday, so let's have at least pass her age a little bit here on the vote total and try and get it up there as high as we can. So thank you very much.
Senator Hand.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. President and members. And Senator Roebling, I appreciate your comments. And I also would urge members to vote no on this bill. I think we heard a lot of testimony. We know that right now, before this bill passes, before these taxes are added, we're looking at a 9% plus increase in our budget. And what Senator Day pointed out very effectively, I thought, is that the cost to the average family of this increase for transportation, would be about a 2% increase to average families. They'd have to get a 2% increase in income to pay for the taxes that this bill will call for. And we're looking at a state budget that is already at 9% plus, and I don't know what more this bill will add to that increase in spending. But we're asking families to take a hit when we've got 9% of a surplus in our coffers right now. This doesn't make any sense, particularly as Senator Day pointed out, we can do a lot without raising taxes. And so, members, what we're doing here is we're saying to the people of the state of Minnesota, we don't have enough money. 9.5% isn't enough. We need to have more taxes to do this. 9.5% isn't enough. We can't prioritize. And so we're going to ask you to pay more when we could do this without requiring that additional cost. So, members, I would urge you to vote no.
Secretary will take the roll. The Senate is under call. All senators must be voting. Senator Rosen is asked to be excused. That's the only one. 66. Secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes and 24 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Members, a slight change of plans. We will not take up the primary bill.
Pogemiller, I guess we should be laying this bill on the table. That's what I...
Is this one we're sending to the House? It's got a tax form. Oh, yes. Mr. President, I would move that Senate file 1986 be laid on the table.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Does he have? Senator
Mr. President, a slight change of plans. We're not going to take up the primary bill. Apparently that primary bill, Senator Larson, is not ready for prime time. But we are going to take up Senate file 1992, which number 68 on general orders. That's the omnibus public safety funding bill. And our intent would be to take a hour recess for caucus.
Senators?
Yeah, let's do an hour, yes.
An hour? So we will recess until 4:30 promptly, and then take up that Senate file, and I appreciate the consideration given by the minority on this, and we want to try to process that bill in an orderly fashion tonight if we can. So I move that, Mr.
Can we temper?
Oh, there's some work at the desk, yes.
Yeah. Messages at the desk. Under motions, temporarily revert to.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate file 60. A bill for an act relating to local government authorizing the city of Duluth to establish accounts to pay for post-employment benefits, etc. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Huntley, Murphy M., and Smith. Senate File 60 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elvin A. Matthew, its Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
On the addendum, we're going to revert to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Reports of committees on the addendum. Senator Pogemiller, did you wish to?
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the addendum be adopted.
On the Pogemiller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business on the addendum is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Second reading. Now you're...
Okay, Mr. President, then I would move that we recess to the call of the chair, and it's I think it'll be closer to a half hour, so we probably will come in back about 4 o'clock. But it's at the call of the chair, but you better, and the Democrats are going to caucus in 112, and I think Senator Senjum 107?
107, correct.
107.
The motion is to recess to the call of the chair.
Mr. President.
Senator Senjum.
Let's do the Republicans in the retiring room.
Okay. On the Pogue-Miller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate will stand in recess.